Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Voices of the Earth and a little snippet of poetry of Robert Frost to start this particular show off this evening. Robert Frost said this about April: the sun was warm, but the wind was chill. You know how it is with an April day. Oh, indeed we do. We do indeed know how it is on an April day. Welcome to Voices of the Earth, the very first the very first day of April. You may have been encountering a few practical jokes as you've gone through your day. I had one in the morning that I was not really thrilled with, but another story, and well, I fell for it. I guess that's one way of putting it. But I also didn't think in the long run it was quite appropriate. So anyway, that's what it is. To me, it was simply the day I was going to get together with those of you tuning in, listening live tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern, and all other time zones beyond that to the West Coast. For all who are listening live, I give you a lively and warm welcome on this first day of April for the program that I have called Earth Pulse. I, for some time now, since beginning Voices of the Earth, have been wanting to do this particular show. So here it is, you're with me, devoting at least this particular show to sharing stories and news of taking the pulse of Mother Earth, stories and news celebrating the reweaving of the living web of Gaia. So I'm looking to hear if there are indeed live listeners who wish to do so, to call in with spring stories, hopeful news. Please call in and share them. I have any number that I have gathered over the last week and more to share with you, and I look forward to doing that. But before we jump all the way into that, let me give you a tiny bit of background, Voices of the Earth, especially if this is a brand new experience for you. And if so, again, a warm welcome to you. It is a call-in radio show, and on most weeks you will find, if you tune in, there is a wonderful guest sharing something of his or her work in the world with the listening audience, with me and the listening audience. This has run a gamut of all kinds of remarkable and amazing things. The programs that have been the programs that have been compiling themselves, I'm not coming up with the right word for some reason, that have been adding up, maybe we'll go with that one, in the 11 months, this is my 11th month, are all conveniently archived for you on my website, Golden Spiral Journey. And I have some sense that I've yet to even say my name, so possibly repeating myself, but maybe not. It is your host, Carol Omart Behan, welcoming you to this program, telling you that on my website, Golden Spiral Journey, www.thebeautyhour.com that you will see a handy link to the archive page for this radio show. And so you can look down through the list and see at least the names of the people as you come to each one. On occasion, there's a little indication of what that person was speaking about. It might have been a book. It might have been an organization they were a part of. It has been a fabulous, oh my golly, I have not counted up, but it has to be something on the order of 24 people. And it has been such an honor and such fun to welcome each and every one. The program just before this evening, and I did skip last week, so back to, if my brain is correct on this, well, it was the Wednesday before the equinox, so I think I'm remembering correctly, the 18th of March. And the guest with me that night, a returning guest of several shows, Kathleen Kelly, and she and I put together and I assisted in a wonderful online, or rather on show. I've been all over the internet today, so on occasion I think I'll get my references a little back and forth, so pardon me if that is the case. Kathleen Kelly and I had this wonderful ceremony that she did put together to honor the equinox. It was very powerful. It was beautiful. People who have heard it have told me how much it has been a wonderful experience for them to hear it both live and in several cases to hear it as a recording. So it is there for you to enjoy. And Kathleen has joined me at all the points along the way since last May to celebrate the Earth's holidays that coincide with the equinoxes, the solstices, and some of the other ones that do come along. So you'll find her name at several points, and in each case, I know you will find it an interesting hour to hear. So here we are, having opened this show, and I'm always wondering when I upload an audio and set the level if it's going to be too loud, too soft, but hopefully in between. And I'm imagining you recognize Vivaldi's Spring, the section from the Four Seasons. I've been listening to it quite often in the last several weeks. We have been attempting to conjure spring here in the Northeast, living as I do on the fringes of the Catskill Mountains, and our bit higher elevation is making winter still something you're seeing quite a bit of, but the robins do not lie. They have been here in increasing numbers over the last week in particular. One has begun visiting the yard here and looks pretty intent upon attracting a Mrs. Robin and getting themselves in process. Speaking of birds, and I'm going to go to any number of stories, and they will have a connection in this, is that they're all related to the pulse of Mother Earth, and in particular, the hopeful stories and the signs of things that are bringing an improvement to a healing and wholing of this beautiful living web of this planet upon which we are all citizens and pilgrims of sorts here in our time together upon this planet. So we have that as our connection. And I was speaking about birds. My mind is already going another place. If I'm not joined by anybody, you are going to be treated to my voice and all of my choice of stories straight through. So I thank you for your interest in going forward with me. But I again invite those of you who might be listening live to give me a call, talk about spring, your hope for it, what you're finding so far, and there's another thing going on. I'll get back to the birds in just a minute. So you might want to make reference to what we're in the middle of or nearing the end of. We are in a rather powerful eclipse cycle. When Kathleen was on the show on March 18th, we definitely spoke at length about what was then the upcoming solar eclipse, which was in exact coordination with the equinox itself. And that was a total solar eclipse. I know you all likely saw beautiful photos, maybe some videos of it, in terms of what took place in the heavens, in what we saw there. Well, as Kathleen and I spoke about, and you may well know, We have been in these 2 weeks in this eclipse window, so to speak, starting on what was then not just the equinox, not just the solar eclipse, but also the lunar new moon. It was an extraordinarily powerful set of astrological events, astronomical events as well, to put the couple of words together, which are definitely correct. On Saturday, which is the, oh gosh, I should check quick. I know we're coming up on the full moon, and so I'm digging out my guide here fast, folks, so don't go away. I actually did make note of this, so I'm thumbing through a couple pages. You may hear me. Yes, okay. I'm glad when I'm right. You know, just like, okay, the brain is still working here. And that's not an April Fool's joke, by the way, of course. So on Saturday, there is a full moon in Libra. Oh, and thank you, caller. I see that someone's called in with a story, and I'm going to have you stay on hold for a little bit. But thank you so much for joining me. And I shall bring you aboard in, oh, a couple of minutes. So if you could be patient, thank you. So going on, Saturday the 4th, a total lunar eclipse on the full moon in Libra. And there is my sense that we're going to see a part of it on the East Coast. If anybody knows differently, they can call in and tell me. Well, we have had quite the wild ride. And if some of you have been aware of that for yourself, do call in and share a story about this. Okay, the bird story, other than the robins. And something you can look up, especially if you're on Facebook. Oh, and I must say, I get a cat story in here because for anybody, and this really is a very personal and sweet thing for me, I do time to time on this radio show mention the presence of the studio cat because my lovely place here, Light Spring Glen, in my nook of this place in which I do all my creative work, and on Mondays, the radio show, looking out the window now, at the still mostly frozen pond, and the squirrels have been running back and forth on the ice, so that's how much snow we still have. But the studio cat does indeed reside with me here. His name is Angus, and today, no fooling, is his 14th birthday. So his picture is on my Facebook page if anybody is that intrigued to go and take a look. And thank you for so many people who have liked and sent messages to Angus. I've been telling him the messages as they have come in. Well, I'll tell you what. I got to tell one bird story, caller. Bear with me. Cat story, bird story, cat story, back to bird story. There is in Utica, New York, what was essentially my hometown until about 7-8 years ago. Utica, New York, it's in the central New York area. I'm imagining Utica's name you have heard at least at one point. A couple of years ago, there was total thrill among the bird lovers of that area that a pair of falcons took up residence there. And as young falcons often have problems the first several years nesting, they did not have a viable nest outcome for a couple of those years. Last year, and by then, I believe they migrate. I don't think they stay all year. And again, I could be corrected. But their names are Ares, A-R-E-S, and Astrid. Astrid is the female. Last year, absolutely wonderful, 3 eggs laid, 3 nestlings, 3 fledglings, all healthy, hardy, and launched into the world. It was so incredibly exciting. And this year, let me tell you, they're at it already again, and the first egg has been laid by Astrid just this morning, folks, April 1st, 9 a.m., at least that's when it was first seen. So there I was slapping my desk in emphasis because it was such an exciting thing to say. I'm thinking that it's Utica Falcon Watch. Check Facebook, but they have a live webcam, or look it up online. But it's absolutely fabulous. So I'm congratulating ours, and Astrid. It probably is supposed to be said like a pirate. Okay, Pulse, Earth Pulse, Voices of the Earth, Spring 2015. I am going to call her in area code 716, thanking you so much. Unmuting your mic, bear with me. Oh, you need to press 1, unless they've changed things for me. If you're a person who wants to come on the air, 716 area code, please press one on your phone's keypad. Otherwise, I don't think it's going to let me unmute you if you have something to say. The possibility might be you're only listening. Oh, there you are. Thank you so very much. We are in business.
Oh, hi, Carol.
Hello,
it's Wendy. How are you?
It is. Say again.
It's Wendy. Yes.
Oh, Wendy.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. I heard Cindy. I thought, well, I'm hearing Wendy's voice. Can't be Cindy.
Okay.
I am a little bit high on April 1st.
Yeah, if you have another caller as well, I can wait. It's not a problem.
No. It is you indeed. And, you know, I don't keep track of my numbers here. So it's like sometimes I think, well, I think I know who this person is. But, no, this is all you. Thank you so much. Wendy Esro is the voice that you are hearing, ladies and gentlemen, and whatever other beings might be listening in. I think when it comes to spring, we have some angelic and fairy beings tuning in as well. Wendy has been on this program one full hour and a couple of partial times too, and likely will be again in the future. An absolutely wonderful artist, photographer, earth lover, beauty hunter. I think I've got most of the right epithets attached to you now.
Yeah, that works. It all works. I just wanted to say happy spring to everybody, and I'll tell you a funny story that happened last night and maybe read one short spring poem from spring. Okay, so last night I was preparing to do a library author talk where I was teaching a wildlife class. So I was parked in the parking lot of this little branch library with a huge tote filled with, you know, probably 12 different sets of materials for watercolor art and whole bunch of reference material and just heavy, bulky things,
mm-hmm.
weighing a ton. So the librarian must have seen me approach from the window, so she presses the automatic door button to relieve me from having to juggle this tote in. And out of my peripheral vision, I note the first snowdrop wildflower in their grassy, muddy,
yes.
wannabe garden, you know. So the door is wide open. She's expecting me to walk in like a normal person. I drop the tote on the nearest bench. I take a camera out of God knows what vest pocket, and I squat down in the mud so I could get a great angle of my first view of the wildflowers. And I didn't care watching out the window. It was absolutely not on my radar. And then after I got a great little photo shoot, I tried to act normal and demudded my shoes and walked in and did my little presentation. So that was my happiness. Because as you all know from the New York area, it has been the worst depth of snow winter I've ever lived through, much to the damage of my house, which is a topic. But I was
were the ones that, right. And for, you know, people will certainly remember, and again, if you're a whole new name and person to them, but you are in that zone, and it made worldwide headlines how your area outside of Buffalo got the feet and feet and feet of snow, and that it came down in part, you know, you were one of the places where the 4 or 5 feet of snow came down.
Yeah, it was insane. It cost us literally $2,000 with 3 different crews to get snow off our roof to try to save the integrity of the structure of our home, which is like many, many people in the area of New England who have damage.
That's true.
Now, we're just,
in the long
you know,
run.
We're on a list of, you know, wait, get your house fixed.
Yeah.
But we lived through it, and the snowdrops just were like, looked like little musical notes to me singing.
Yes.
You know, they were so sweet.
Yeah. They make me
so
think of
that
too. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Thank you.
You're welcome. And if you want me to read this little poem, I will. If not,
please,
you can pick up
any of your spring treasures. I'm just collecting them tonight from various places that I collected them. And again, it was late notice. I got, of all things, and I'm glad it didn't last until today, but I was laid low by some, I don't know where it came from, stomach bugs. So I'm just on the up and up finally.
Oh, wow.
so I didn't get my emails out to people like you, and you know, so thank you for the last minute notice for even finding out what I was up to. So I'm delighted you're here with me, Wendy. Thank you so much. Please continue.
All right, so quick, so this is from last, I want to say May probably, and my handwriting on it, because I didn't really plan to make this call, is a mess. So if I stumble over a word or two, you'll get the gist at any rate.
Mm-hmm.
So it's titled Ode to Spring. Newborn green ferns waving in rhythm with the wind, I salute you. Sweet rain flows down the hills and joins the May melody of the creek song. Oriole coasts to a landing, his orange chest a little fireball of color. Blush pink tulips peek through a soft undulating seabed of creamy blue forget-me-nots gone wild. As if this were not enough beauty, a hermit thrush glorifies the air with ecstatic notes praising spring, piercing the moment and pausing my pen in praise. That's
it. Wow. Oh, my gosh. I had my eyes closed because I was just savoring everything. And hermit thrushes will return to my woods too and glorify the air. And it's us being stretched a bit in our patience this year, but you have seen a snowdrop. So
I know. So yeah. I will leave you with the snowdrop and let you get on with your show.
Thank you so very much, my dear.
Happy spring, everybody.
Oh,
all right, bye-bye.
Yes, and happy spring back to you. Bye for now. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. That's what we got going here. Oh, lovely. Wendy joining us tonight. And I got a little different setup, so Wendy, you might actually still be hearing me. You'll be heading out to do other adventures. Wendy Estro, look for her name on the list of shows and find out more of what she has done. It is phenomenal, and you heard certainly some references there, and she is indeed a beauty hunter. We need more beauty hunters in the world. Likely, if you're listening to the show and smiling along with some of this, you're a beauty hunter yourself. Where should I go next? I have so many things. Well, listen, I'm going to do just a little tiny bit of self-promotion other than the show, because I often say, as the show begins, something about who and what I'm up to. I mean, I know if you get over to my website, you do see that I'm, well, if anything, I guess I'm a wordsmith, I like to say. I'm a creative hunter. I'm something, something, something. I'll borrow some of Wendy's words. But I kind of sum it up by saying that I am a writer and a teacher of earth wisdom through labyrinth and sacred pilgrimage. And that really covers a lot, and you'd see it on my website. But the sacred pilgrimage is where I'd like to go to for just a couple minutes. Pilgrimage, in this sense, is related in particular to work I have done off and on since 2005, which has been taking groups on sacred pilgrimage to Avalon. What is ancient, its ancient name is Avalon. Its name these days is Glastonbury, England, home of Glastonbury Tor, the ruins of Glastonbury Abbey, of the Chalice Well, of the burial place of King Arthur and Queen Guinevere, on and on and on, in great and deep magic around the sacred feminine. This has been a place of my heart since I first went there in 2001 on my own sacred pilgrimage. And in years that followed that, I was encouraged to consider organizing pilgrimage groups, since I was getting to know the place so well, and bring pilgrimage groups there. And in addition to Glastonbury, to places that are other sacred sites within that area of southwest England. Indeed, I've been called out of semi-retirement to offer a pilgrimage again this year. You will see its details on my website, Answering Avalon's Call, Glastonbury Pilgrimage of 2015. The dates are August 6th through August 15th. Details of what we'll be up to and where we're going to go and some of the highlights, in addition to the incredible, it's a small town. It's a market town. And, you know, in terms of area, I would think that it is, I don't know, I'm trying to equate it to something. It is a small town, but it is multi-layered in terms of its levels and realms, you might say, multi-dimensional in incredible magical ways. People come there for all kinds of reasons, on healing journeys to the ancient well, the holy well that's called Chalice Well. People come on mystical adventures because of Arthur and Guinevere, sometimes for reasons you don't even know, but you feel the call of Avalon. We also are going to do the following things out in day trips. We make Glastonbury our headquarters. It's a residential retreat. We will spend 3 fabulous days, though, in northern Cornwall in a fabulous tiny little town, Tintagel, or Tintagel, as you occasionally hear it said, which in the Arthurian legends is the birthplace of King Arthur. So that's a little bit of it. It has all kinds of amazing things happening there, and a splendid, splendid B&B where the group will stay, Beausoleil Guest House, with fabulous hosts, Keith and Julie Walker. And if you ever listen to this, Keith and Julie, I cannot wait to see you again. So we will be ourselves out there August 7th, I think, is when we get to you. Back in Glastonbury, we will see everything there is to see, enjoy, explore, and then some in and around Glastonbury, and a day trip to Stonehenge and Avebury. And I don't even have to explain Stonehenge. You know indeed what that is. Avebury, lesser known, but the largest stone circle in all of southern England. And my goodness, you will not be able to believe your eyes should you be the person to choose to join us and go and visit that incredible place. Also a day trip to Bath, or as it's said occasionally over there, Bath. So I'll give it both pronunciations tonight. If you'd like to know more, and I got to tell you, I'm a dandy facilitator for this kind of thing. Your pilgrimage facilitator with all the right credentials. So I'll just leave it at that. All right, that is my plug for myself. Shameless, but necessary. And heaven knows I have a leg or two to stand on when it comes to this. Okay, so what seeds are you planting for the rest of your year? You might give that consideration, especially with the solar eclipse coming our way on Saturday. There is a website I'm going to recommend if you'd like to know more. I was thinking I might read from it, but, you know, I've got so many other things I'd like to share. I'm just going to leave you with this website. Okay, check it out. In regards to astrological gems and guidance, thecosmicpath.com. I'll say it once more, thecosmicpath.com. And you can find it all on your own for yourself. All right. Let's talk about earth justice and energy justice here. That's what I actually meant to say. Energy justice. When I was making a list of things to talk about, there were so many stories in this end of the news spectrum, you might say, in environmental positivity, because that's where I like to go with things. And I am going to start with this. I just loved this. Turned up around World Water Day, which was March 22nd. If World Water Day is something that is a new idea to you, maybe you caught wind of it this year for the following reason. And it is United Nations founded day of every year. I think March 22nd is its yearly annual date. I could be slightly wrong about that, but it's around that date anyway. To simply focus on the incredible importance of this natural resource of the planet and its misuse, the need for its healing, and the hopeful stories that are arising around the healing of the waters of the planet. And there's very few people who wouldn't acknowledge the fact that we're in a time when the need to have health in our water for all concerned and to prevent further damage pollution-wise or misuse of in any way would be a horrible crime against all living beings on this planet. Global warming coming to mind quite quickly. But the story I want to bring to your attention is this one. And this was that on World Water Day, Pope Francis gave his blessing, you might say, to the fractivists of the world, those of us who've been working diligently, tirelessly, as much as possible, to bring an end to the scourge of fossil fuel extraction, hydrofracking. So here it is, a story from the Associated Press out of Vatican City on March 22nd. It's a very short story. Pope Francis is encouraging the world to ensure its water supplies are protected and available to all. Francis noted the United Nations was marking Sunday as an occasion to draw attention to water's importance. He quoted St. Francis of Assisi, who inspired his choice of name as Pope, in praising water for its usefulness and purity. Francis intends to detail his views on the environment soon in an encyclical, a Vatican position paper reserved for important matters. Speaking to the public in St. Peter's Square, the Pope called water, quote, the most essential element for life, and said, humanity's future depends on our ability to care for it and share it. Finally, in this article, he encouraged governments to ensure that water supplies are protected and accessible to all. And I know within a further telling of that particular story, he came out in opposition to fracking at that point. And so it's not covered in that particular. Okay, I'm kind of switching back and forth my notes and that kind of thing, making sure if there are more callers that I have spotted you in time to invite you to come on with your stories, comments. Oh, my golly, someone is trying to bing. I thought I put my call waiting thing on. I guess not. So you're hearing some beeps coming in. I'm just going to have to let it go at that because that's live radio for you on the Internet. Okay. Energy justice. I got to snicker a little bit. This could be a person who's responding by calling my home number. If you're hearing me and are trying to call my home number, here is the number you call. I'm kind of forgot to say this. It is 1-805-292-0349. I'll say that once more, friends. 1-805-292-0349. And I truly thought I had my call waiting off. Okay, well, there we go. I'm thinking it's an April Fool's thing. I'm going to make use of that for any further mistakes that might happen between now and the top of the hour. By the way, you will get to hear the rest of Vivaldi's beautiful spring piece at the end of the show. Okay. Energy justice. In this particular area, I want to give a shout out now to a group, because fracking has been banned, at least in a semi-permanent way. We're working to make sure that this becomes a permanent ban, but it is the first state in the U.S. to have their governor come out opposing it and to ensure, well, it's not insured yet. We have to keep working. But there is a group, and let's see if I can get to them. I may not be able to. Okay. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Stop the Pipeline, and I've got to pull up their stuff. So if you could just talk amongst yourselves for a minute while I do that. Oh, wait a minute. I know where it is. Golly, my mind's like a steel trap here. Please laugh along with me. Oh, I need to tell you what happened today from Washington, and that's really important. Okay. Stop the Constitutional Pipeline. Look them up on Facebook. Look up their website. This is a group that I have, after the fracking thing has finally, you know, gotten itself in this semi-permanent ban, I have been attempting to be useful to this group, Stop the Constitutional Pipeline. Known in the circles around the pipelines, this awful infrastructure associated with the extractive industry of hydrofracking, that this pipeline proposed, a Greenfields pipeline, a new pipeline, because, you know, it doesn't matter that New York will not have fracking. It's that we will still be invaded by the pipelines to take the fracked gas from poor Pennsylvania, fracked within an inch of its life, to awaiting terminals to have it shipped out of the country, I kid you not. Stop the Constitution Pipeline has been actively attempting to stop what is correctly termed the Xcel Pipeline of the fracking industry here in the Northeast. Their latest action is this. The Citizens Group, and so I'm reading off a little article that was in the Oneonta paper. The Citizens Group, seeking to derail the proposed Constitution pipeline, hardly constitutional, announced Monday that it has filed legal action in a federal appeals court to force federal regulators to rehear challenges to a certificate of public necessity granted to project developers in December. Okay, that was a mouthful. And if that got to be gobbledygook with you, I would understand. They are in the federal appeals court now, and here is Anne-Marie Gardy. I've not met her yet, but she is one phenomenal environmental litigation specialist and an organizer of this group. Here is what she said. There is, by the way, need to explain FERC, which is FERC. It is the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, which, going back to a little bit in the article, habitually grants itself more time than allowed by law, which prevents groups from seeking judicial review of their orders. All righty. Here is Anne-Marie. FERC uses delay tactics to keep projects they approve out of court. Aha, their project. And continues, while the commission blocks us from appealing their order, they let the Constitution pipeline take people's land through eminent proceedings. So they have gotten themselves into court to stop the Constitution pipeline. I am without a person to talk too much, so my words are getting a little tangled. That is what's happening with Stop the Constitutional Pipeline. That's why I said Constitutional Pipeline. It was the headline. Oh, golly, there are no proofreaders anymore, even at newspapers. So anyway, it's actively doing its thing, and I applaud these people. I have met any number of them, and if I think I worked semi-hard to help bring fracking to an end, it pales by comparison with what these people are doing. Do check their website. You can involve yourself in what they're doing, regardless of whether you are a New Yorker or not. If you're an earth lover, if you are opposed to fracking, this is something you can put a few minutes into and have an effect. I want to give also a shout-out to a group, and I know I don't have any direct link to them right now, but I am so in awe of their work. It's a fracking-related issue. They are a Seneca Lake activist group calling themselves We Are Seneca Lake. They have a wonderful Facebook page. I absolutely encourage you to go and find it there. I'm sure they have a website as well. Sandra Steingraber, a name I hope you know, leads that group. And what is going on there, to be as brief as I can, there are abandoned salt mines, salt being something extracted, you know, a century or more ago, that have been bought up by a company to have stored the effluents of the end of the fracking process. And in some cases, the frack gases itself, I think. But basically, all these poisons are being projected to be brought up here to be stored. It's like what they used to try to do with radioactive waste. Now they want to store the fracking waste. I'm getting up on a soapbox here, and I hope you don't mind my doing a little bit of, it's important, it's necessary. And these people are opposing the use of these mines, not just for the fact that it is bringing the fracking industry into New York State, but because of the absolute total dangers of fracking up this incredibly beautiful, pristine lake, Seneca Lake, one of the biggest lakes in the Finger Lakes. And what they have done and continue to do to prevent this through civil disobedience is, I am so in awe. But here's the good news, and that's what I want to bring you tonight, is that out of the something like 125 arrests that were made for citizens, I got all wound up with this. In other words, they arrested for nonviolent actions. Their charges, every last one, has been dismissed by a judge who has been come to greatly admire what they do, civil disobedience. Thank you, Brain, for telling me that. And in the last couple weeks, there have been the dismissal of these charges against these people. It is a beautiful, powerful story of grassroots activism, and this is what's going to be the difference in the world. It is Gandhi saying, you must be the change you wish to see in the world. Here we go. Okay. Caller from 763, who has just joined me. I see that this is true, and I'm guessing I might know who you are. If you wish to come on with your story, comments, whatever it is you'd love to talk about for Earth Pulse, do press 1 as you're listening to me now so I can welcome you to the air and I can grab a drink of water. Thank you very much. I get really enthralled and involved with all of this. Okay, here you go. Hello there.
Hello there. It's
Marilyn. Oh, happy spring.
Happy spring. Happy spring. Mm-hmm. I thought I'd call and be faithful.
Oh, and, you're delightful. And yes, I'm going to give you the fan of the show button. But anyway, it's always great to hear your voice. You are an earth lover, and our earth loving roots go back to the same place.
Right. Well, and I was thinking about it with I was reading where it says Pulse of Mother Earth, sharing stories and news of celebrating and reweaving the living web of Gala. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think of spring as a time of definite celebration, a definite time of reweaving from the perspective of getting reconnected with Mother Earth. It's time to go back out and work the earth and get it ready for all the beautiful spring flowers that pop through.
Yes.
And I saw this morning at our house, the poppies' leaves are coming up. I saw some tulips just coming through a tiny bit. It was about 70 here for a while today.
Tell us, because not everyone knows Marilyn other than as I do, but you are called, where is it you live?
Well, Minnesota, Minneapolis, Minnesota, yeah.
Wow, you guys are getting some warmth. I love it.
Yeah, we've had some warm. We've had 50s, 40s and 50s for the last 2 weeks, a couple 60s, and then it goes back down again. And it's going to be cool again by the weekend in the 50s. Today, thunderstorm and lightning this morning, but it didn't amount to much. They're talking about possibility of rain tonight. And when you talk about the earth, the rain is something we desperately need. It's very dry here.
Oh.
Because we didn't get a lot of snow.
You didn't get this depth of snow that Wendy spoke about earlier. Oh, wow.
Oh,
I did not know that.
No, I mean, we've been back. We were in Florida for 2 weeks. We came back on the 13th of March. There was no snow. It was gone.
Wow.
Yeah. So we're in a different place than you are.
Yeah,
With your snow is still melting.
Right, and that's the good thing here is that, as everyone is saying, and you wouldn't want it to warm up too fast because you know how that leads to flooding, and it just all, you need it to soak into the aquifers and such, so... we'll think about this. So anyway, I interrupted a bit of you because I'm loving hearing what you're seeing coming up in your garden.
Well, that's all, you know, I've done a little bit of walking. What I've seen more than anything else in the nature world is the geese that come back every year, the ducks, the pair of ducks that come back to our natural wetland on our property.
Oh, really?
The wood ducks are already in the house.
Oh,
and
you have a wood duck house. Yay!
Yeah, yep. And Gary's out building a new bluebird house right now. This one's
going
to be a little fancier than the original, traditional one. And then we have turkeys that Gary fed all winter. Now the toms have showed up. So it's now the mating time for the turkeys. So we see them dancing every day.
Oh, my golly.
It's incredible. I mean, the toms are huge. So, you know, when I think it going back again to reweaving, you think about spring, you think about the earth, you think about the celebration of Easter that's right in our back door.
Yes.
And
yes.
all of that is reweaving and recommitting ourselves to so many different things.
Mm-hmm.
And renewing friendships as usual, you know, meeting people that we haven't seen or taking the time, which I think for me, this spring a few times I've taken the time to go visit some of my girlfriends that are in their 90s and spending a little bit of time with them and just reflecting on how fortunate we are to be walking this earth and living.
Yeah.
And, you know, life is so precious in every shape or form, you know.
Oh, absolutely. And I know in talking with people, you know, I've had so many different conversations in the last several months around this particular theme, this topic of Voices of the Earth, as you know, because you've listened to several, really quite a few, is that there's definitely discouraging news. There is no denying that. But there is so much hopefulness, and that's what I wanted to bring forth in people's awareness. And that's what was trying to make the main point. So people are getting more reattuned or reconnected with, or a fresh awareness. Thank the stars, because we all need to have this and to forget about how the connection we have to the earth is so vital to our happiness.
It's
a great law.
Yeah.
So
Monday, Gary and I took a ride to St. Paul Conservatory to see all the beautiful tropical plants that are indoors and feel the warmth and the moisture that goes on inside of there, to the area where they've got it all ready for Easter with tulips and beautiful flowers in full bloom. And, you know, he kind of said, well, what do we want to do this for? And then when we got there, it was like, well, look at this and look at that. And let's go over here and let's see this. And it's a time of rebuilding and reweaving the soul. It's a time to go back to the beginning and say, okay, it's time to start over. It's spring.
Yeah.
And all the way across the board, your spiritual life changes in the spring because you take the time to reflect on what is it all about and where are you at. And for me, I've been going to the pool 3-4 times a week doing water aerobics, and I found myself this morning early, because I was there early, walking in the children's pool, because they claim if I walk the children's pool this certain distance for 25 minutes, 20 minutes, she said, it was equivalent to a 5-mile walk. So
walking the resistance of the water,
from the resistance, And here I found myself, as I'm walking, taking the time to thanking the Lord for the day and all that was around us. So it's, you know, there again, it's that reweaving of just not just seeing the plants through the earth, but looking at ourselves and saying, okay, it's a time to begin over again and to look at different things, even to the point where, you know, when you're talking about fracking and how you believe, you know, what you believe in that and where you've come so far in your state with that situation and all of the different things that are connected with not taking care of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
It could be as simple as getting out of the car and picking up the stuff along the street that people throw on the ground.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. It's those little tiny small things that people take for granted.
Right. Absolutely.
I think you have to start somewhere, that's where you start.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
And for anyone, and you and I, both grandmothers at this stage of the game, you know, as our children and then, of course, our grandchildren come along, taking the time to enjoy the outdoors with them. And not that they wouldn't on their own, but to create opportunities so they can really, especially for kids who maybe have a little more city-connected life, not that there isn't a way, a little harder to get to, but go ahead.
Yeah. I see that because our grandsons, of course, are now 20 in another week, and the other one is 21, going to be 22. They're city boys. They still love to get out and come out here. But what we're noticing is now that they're older, between work, college, and they both now are going to be in their own apartments, they've got commitments. They have commitments to take care of. So that getting them to slow down and come out is a big mm-hmm. challenge. Now, mm-hmm. one will be here on Easter. The other one found out he has to work. He says he's going to come later, and he will. Mm-hmm. And we try to slow him down in that way.
There you,
you
go.
Know, try
the
to
world. The world wants too much of us sometimes, and it's good to
it
be
really
able
does.
As much as possible to get
it
ourselves
really
slowed down
yeah.
to enjoy this.
Yeah.
We all need some
yeah.
stillness,
yeah.
and heaven knows we've had a long winter to be still for those of us
oh,
in the northern
yeah.
climates, but it's coming, and I love all that you've shared with us, Marilyn. It's just been wonderful, and so I'm going to wish you a wonderful spring, and I've got a couple of interesting shows coming along, and then I'm taking 2 weeks off. I'll be away later in April, but you'll hear me say unless you tune out tonight, but there will be shows the next two Wednesdays that I think you'll find
mm-hmm.
interesting. But
and then you'll
thank
be gone
you.
In April.
In the end of April, I'm going to be taking off right around Earth Day, as a matter of fact. Actually, I'm going down to the Carolinas to enjoy some real amazing warmth in the ocean and friends, so I'm looking forward to that
nice.
Greatly. So.
Nice.
All
okay.
righty.
Have
thank you for checking
evening.
In, my dear. Yes.
I'll sit and listen.
Take care now.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Oh, thank you so much, Marilyn, to hear about that. And that there's a gardening story that I actually talking with a friend in the Carolinas, Wilmington, to be precise, Carol. And Carol may listen to this at some point. And she called me today. She just came back from a hike. And as one can do with the technology we have, she was stopping at a place before she got home, a natural bog area that's outside of an elementary school area right there near her home. And so she has me on, like, her whatever earbud or whatever those Bluetooths, I don't know. So I'm walking along with her, you might say, listening to her as she's talking to me, she's walking along. And she is describing to me, because she'd forgotten I only have an old little old landline here. I don't have any way to see photos, pictures. And she's describing to me what was coming up in this beautiful natural bog, which were sundews and pitcher plants and flycatcher traps. Venus flytraps, that's what they are. So it was wonderful to hear about that, and so I know spring is coming this way. I already mentioned the robins that have made their way here. Well, I am totally delighted with the stories that and the news and the sharings that Wendy and Marilyn called in. I'm always astonished to find the hour go by as quickly as it did, and I have a few stories that I want to share that are so wonderful in terms of their hopefulness. Things I've mentioned on, and I'll get away for a moment from the energy justice, although there are other things that could be said, and there are many hopeful things. But I want to conclude with two things, and one is a story about an organization that is helping animal justice issues in Vietnam and China. The name of this group is Animals Asia. Animals Asia, I got connected to them working with their, being involved with their work to end bear bile farming. The capture, because that's almost always what it is, of wild Asiatic black bears, often called moon bears. And I have been part of their effort, in long-distance terms, a story for a whole hour, to help bring healing and hope to these bears that have been so horribly mistreated. All of the details of this, but they're held captive their entire lives and milked in this invasive way for their gallbladder bile. Enough of just saying that, I'm sure, would make you shudder. This practice has now been outlawed, rightfully so. It's been a part of ancient Chinese medicine, but just because it's been part of something ancient doesn't mean that it's right. So they are bringing about the ending of this practice. It is illegal in almost all of Vietnam and all of China. But what I want to bring to you, apart from the very huge gains that have been made in raising a citizen awareness in China and bringing an end to this, is the last 5 days, ending yesterday, they run two beautiful sanctuaries for the bears that are released, are saved, salvage from this industry up to 500 of these beautiful animals now to a sanctuary in China and a sanctuary outside of what was Ho Chi Minh City in Vietnam, Tam Dao. And that is the place that I'm most connected with. There, and the pictures and the stories are so heartening. There were three beautiful moon bears, two from one place and one from another place, who were turned over to them. Coco, Yogi, and Burn. They never had names, but those are their names now. Coco and Yogi, a male and a female bear, are thought to be 15 years old. They were likely captured when they were just little cubs. Each of them is missing because of how they're captured when they're young, and usually the mothers are killed. It's a horrific thing to even think about, and it's hard for me to talk about it. And so these bears captured when they're little and then kept in cages in captivity all these years until they basically die of some awful disease because of what's done to them. They were rescued 5 days ago, and in the process, a bear that was turned over to them voluntarily as well, a bear they think is about 9 years old, who they've named Burn, another male bear, were brought 2,000 miles to the almost the whole length of Vietnam to the sanctuary. It was an incredible story, and covered. I get very emotional talking about them, and I am so cheering on the work that they do. All of us have something in the world that really draws us that we want to make right in the world. Find whatever it is that can use your heart thoughts, your financial input, your physical work, whatever it is. This is a year to contribute what you can to bring about the healing to this planet that is so needed in so many places, and yet there is so much hope that people are doing just this sort of thing. So I'm going to leave you with that story, and I'm going to leave you first with, before I return to Vivaldi, who I'm going to let play us out, with possibly one of my favorite poems for spring. And it is a Mary Oliver poem. Those of you who know me, listen to my shows, have heard a poem or two of hers before. Here in the Catskills, the bears are starting to come awake. And so in their honor and in honor of Mary Oliver, I read this poem to you now. Spring by Mary Oliver. Somewhere a black bear has just risen from sleep and is staring down the mountain. All night in the brisk and shallow restlessness of early spring, I think of her, her four black fists flicking the gravel, her tongue like a red fire touching the grass, the cold water. There is only one question: how to love this world. I think of her rising like a black and leafy ledge to sharpen her claws against the silence of the trees. Whatever else my life is, poems and its music, and its glass cities, it is also this dazzling darkness coming down the mountain, breathing and tasting. All day I think of her, her white teeth, her wordlessness, her perfect love. It is time for me to thank you for your careful listening, for your helping to celebrate spring wherever it is you might be, and whenever it is you might be listening. I am so grateful to all who find their way to Voices of the Earth, because there is response in some way to this concept that it is the celebrating and reweaving the living web of Gaia, which is instills hope and promise in this beautiful world that we share. So thank you very much for your part in that by simply being a listener to this program. Thank you to Wendy and Marilyn for contributing their beautiful sharings tonight on the show. Next week I'm joined by Donna Russin, who is an angelic healer, works with the energies of Archangel Michael and Saint Germain and so many other wonderful angelic presences. She's a dear friend, and I look forward to having her share with us some of what she does in the world from this perspective, which is lovely. 2 weeks from tonight, two very special friends, Basha Conroy and Dr. Jim Conroy and Basha Alexander, my apologies, who will talk about their amazing work with trees. Dr. Jim is a tree whisperer, and you will not want to miss their program as they talk about their work in the world. It is incredible. Donna's work, too. You're listening, all of us together. This is what's bringing hope, healing, and joy to this planet. Thank you so very much. I'm going to let Vivaldi carry us out his whole 6 minutes, spring from the four seasons. Blessings to all of you. Namaste.
Listening to the Art of Living Well Radio Network, a subsidiary of Crowning Light Productions. For more information on all of our programs, go to our website, theartoflivingwell.tv. this is Gene Bogart saying thanks for listening to the Art of Living Well Radio Network. Radio to inspire enlightened living.